Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the show. I have an hour and a half show planned, but with the storms that are rolling through here right now, I'm not exactly sure how well this is going to work out. I'm not exactly sure how good the show will be, but I will try to do a great show here. I just noticed my microphone was off, but I think that first part probably got through. I've got the chat room open right now. The computers are working right now. But like I said, we've got storms rolling through here like crazy. We are under a severe thunderstorm watch right now. So if you hear crashes in the background, it's probably the thunderstorms. It's been raining really hard. I got a river running through my yard again. I was going to mow it today, but that didn't happen at all. So we are here. I put in another invitation to Uncle Bing Fisher to see if he will show up. Like I said, the chat room is open, but we are here for now. And I've got my door open, watching the water run by. So we are having a very wet and noisy day here in Indiana. And but we will try to get as much of the show in as we can and see just what all we can do for a good show here. MSNBC's racist bigot Joy Reid has been embroiled in one controversy after another for the last few months. And if this latest story is in any indication, the controversy surrounding her may not subside anytime too soon. And it is best if they don't. Racists like her need to be exposed at every turn in their crooked roads. They have always gotten what they wanted because all they had to do was spout their racist remarks and then blame them on someone else if they got caught. That always worked before, but they are finding out now that the time has come that they won't get away with it anymore, because along the lines, there are people who will actually do what is right and stand up and tell them that they are wrong. Explaining this is going to have to be done, which brings us to their lying and conniving to keep them in the limelight, and they have always craved. For Joy Reid, that spotlight is quickly being extinguished after being caught not twice but three different times as having written homophobic, Islamophobic, vile, and even violent content during her time as a blogger. Reid has finally apologized for the person that, quote, she used to be, unquote. The problem is that when these issues were first rediscovered, Reid argued that her site had been hacked and someone had planted the bio post to smear her. Who the hell would want to smear her? I mean, she's doing a good enough job as it is. And Flycatch in the chat room says it is coming to a point in time when only an armed revolution will save our nation. And folks, he's not the only one who sees this. I think that the government sees this too, and that is one of the reasons that they right now are so hot and heavy to take our guns away from us. And so that's one of the things that we have to be really careful about here, because if they succeed at that, this nation as a free nation is gone, and that is pretty much all there is to it. Like I was saying a few minutes ago, Flycatch, that we have a bunch of storms flying through here in Indiana, and at times it gets really noisy, and I've lost my electricity a couple of times, So hopefully that doesn't happen. Right now it seems kind of calm, although it's still raining. But we are under a severe thunderstorm watch here, so hopefully it kind of stays away for a little while. But even, you know, after her being saying that someone had hacked her and planted the vile post to smear her, she even called in the FBI on this, but eventually she was forced to admit that there was no evidence of a hacking and that it was possible that she had indeed written the problematic post. You can see the background on various posts on her lies. Last December, Reed apologized when she admitted she had written homophobic material between 2007 and 2009, including attacking former Florida Governor Charlie Crist by calling him Miss Charlie and trumpeting that Crist was actually a closeted gay man who stayed closeted fear of the effect such a revelation might have on his political career. As Mediate pointed out at the time, as bad as the conspiracy theory is in itself, Reed doesn't suggest Crist is gay. She assumes he is gay and proceeds to attack him for it. And that's under an assumption. And we all know what assuming things are. It makes an ass out of you and me. And the you is Reed. She's constantly making an ass out of herself. Flycatch says he hasn't seen rain in 8 months. Sounds like a friend of mine who lives down in New Mexico. She hasn't seen rain in a whole long time, although it's coming up on the time when rain will start up in New Mexico. But that's neither here nor there. But she was talking about Chris, and she says, Miss Charlie, stop pretending, brother. It's okay that you don't go for the ladies, wrote Reed in a 2007 post. And here, where Joy Reid abandons hacking claims. From April 28th on Saturday, MSNBC's Joy Reid appeared to abandon her conspiracy theory that hackers had fabricated. There are three other instances, but what is important here is the woman lied to make herself seem important, and the American people are stupid. Joy Reid is just another of those liberal bitches who seems to think that all they have to do is accuse someone of something, and that is the gospel. And she thinks that the American people are stupid, like I had said just a couple of seconds ago, you know, and I don't think they are. I think they've just been rather asleep and living their lives. But it's coming up to the point now where the American people are waking up, and it's going to be a rude awakening for people like Joy Reid. But like, you know, she thinks all this is gospel, but it is no gospel because it's the truth. And what they are uttering is nothing but lies, lies, lies said to destroy people. Well, I'm not going to stand up and let this happen. I will do everything I can to expose this liberal liar every time I can, and every other one out there too. This is the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR, as I've been calling it. And I am your host, Robert the Infidel, with today's show. Glad you are here with us on the 10th day of June. Boy, this year is just flying by, it seems. And it seems like just a few weeks ago it was February, but it's now close to the middle of June, and It's amazing. We will be right back after the introduction, and we'll get the show started with this.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot.
and one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, we are back, and glad that we have Flycatch in the chat room. He's always bringing up great points that maybe I have missed or just haven't gotten to that point yet. The call-in number, if you want to call in, is 646-478-5284, and it's like I started out a couple of weeks ago. We had our new newscast that I call the Audio News Blast from NPR. I was going to play that in a little bit, but I found a sound clip by David Horowitz on the reason that America is not to blame for all the things that the liberals and the progressives are blaming us for. And it's like 5 minutes long, but I thought that this was something that would really be a good thing to put out here, because, you know, the likes of John McCain and Nancy Pelosi and all these idiots in Washington who have decided that Trump is bad for America, Trump is the most horrible thing that we've ever had, and that he's destroying our nation, when they had nothing at all to say when it came to Obama, who was actually doing things to destroy this nation. They're always hitting us with these ideas that Trump is horrible and that there, racism is all over the place. Well, this thing from David Horowitz is really just right on the money, and he actually tells pretty much that all of them are wrong, and this is a great one.
Civilizations die when they cease to believe in themselves. They lose the will to defend themselves, and thus the will to survive. America is under attack at home and abroad by forces that are both secular and religious. And the chief weapon of the enemies of America that are secular is race. America is called almost routinely now as a white supremacist nation. Just before his election, Barack Obama said that we're 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America, which is a very radical statement. Obama, after he was president, said, racism is America's DNA and is transmitted through the generations. This is the opposite of the truth. The truth is that liberty is America's DNA, individual freedom. Slavery existed for 3,000 years in every society on earth until a group of white Christians in England and America, led by Wilberforce and Thomas Jefferson, declared that slavery was immoral. Nobody had said it was immoral before that. Slavery existed in Africa for 1,000 years before a white person ever set foot there. They were bought by Englishmen and brought over to North America. But once the United States was created with its declaration that all men are created equal and have a right to liberty, it took one generation for Americans to abolish slavery at the cost of 350,000 Union lives. The American birth certificate declares that every human creature of God is created equal and has a right to liberty. This is unprecedented in the 5,000 years of previous recorded human history. This is what has made America a beacon of freedom in the world, what allowed America to lead the world in abolishing slavery and defeating the racist powers of the German Reich in the Second World War, and had caused its greatest president to call it the last best hope of mankind. Institutional racism, if it existed, it's a fiction created by the left. The Democratic Party platform, which serves this anti-American myth by talking about institutional racism and systemic racism in our society, flies in the face of the fact that the Civil Rights Movement, with the Civil Rights Acts of 64 and 65, outlawed institutional racism. The left distorts everything through this racial prism. Identity politics divides the world into people of color. It's a complete ideological construct. There is no purpose in the phrase people of color except to make a gigantic group that's oppressed, marginalized, underrepresented, and white people who are the bad people. This is the politics of anti-Americanism today. It's the politics of the movement that wants to fundamentally transform this country, i.e. destroy the society that we have and replace it with a collectivist society. One indicator of this, George Packer of The Atlantic is called the most influential writer in America today. Ta-Nehisi Coates is a rabid, America-hating racist. Ta-Nehisi Coates has said that America's foundational principle is white supremacy, and he doesn't know whether America will ever be free of being a white supremacist society. The American idea of individual liberty, individual freedom, individual accountability is the most liberating political idea in the history of mankind. It's what freed the slaves who were enslaved by African kings in Africa. It's what ended slavery. It's what's created the Civil Rights Revolution. It's an amazing transformation of our society. Those ideas, the Democratic Party has set out with the political left to destroy. If the politics of the Democratic Party prevail, this nation will commit suicide.
And on that note, that it was slightly long, but in that one, he told exactly what this nation is heading for if we do not stop the Democrats and the Liberal Party from tearing this nation down the way they have the last 9, 10, 15 years. And everything that they're doing has one objective in mind, and that objective is to destroy this nation. And they get away with things that no one else will. Flycatch sent me a link that shows the list of Clinton associates who've died mysteriously. And in this list, almost every one of these people were scheduled to testify before they died. You know, like James McDougal, Clinton's convicted Whitewater partner, died of an apparent heart attack while in solitary confinement. He was a key witness in Ken Starr's investigation. Mary Mahoney, a former White House intern, was murdered in July 1977 at a Starbucks coffee shop in Georgetown. The murder happened just after she was to go public with her story of sexual harassment in the White House, Bill Clinton's White House. Vince Foster, former White House counselor and colleague of Hillary Clinton at the Little Rock's Rose Law Firm, died of a gunshot wound to the head, ruled a suicide. But a gunshot wound to the head is, I don't know, you know, it just seems like all of these people died when they were either getting ready to testify against the Clintons, or the Clintons realized this person knows way too much, we got to get rid of them. I have absolutely no doubts in my mind that every one of these people on this list were gotten rid of because of the Clintons. And America dodged a bullet when they elected President Trump, because I don't know how many of you remember this, but when the Clintons left the White House the first time, they stole a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff disappeared with them. And Flycatch mentioned that on that thing that I had just got through playing from David Horowitz, that there was no mention of the Arab slave trade, and they started it all. And no, he didn't mention that, but it's there. But he said that slavery was an accepted form of was an accepted form of stuff for the whole world before America. And after America got going, slavery was outlawed here in America, and it started to domino its effects throughout the world. So it was because of America that slavery kind of disappeared. But if you listen to the left, or people who swing left, America is the bad person. America is the one that had slavery. America is a horrible country because we had slaves. But what is not brought up in any of this is the fact that when America had slaves, every nation in the world had slaves. We were the ones who got rid of it. But of course, to the liberals in our nation, that means absolutely freaking nothing. There's no reason for Americans to be proud of America because we had slavery. That's such a bad, horrible thing. Yeah, it is. But it was because of America that it's no longer something that really has to be worried about, especially here in America. Where I work, the place is probably right now about, oh, I'd say 50% black. And most of the managers who are there are black. You cannot tell me that they are being held down like they're all chanting and ranting and raving all over the streets of this nation saying that they're being held down, they're being oppressed. No, they're not. The only ones that are being oppressed are the ones who say they are. And they're being oppressed because of their own actions. And it isn't the white people who's oppressing them, or the brown people who are oppressing them, or anybody else. It's them. It is they themselves who are oppressing themselves. And Flycatch put in there, the Civil War was not fought over slavery, but cotton. And it was the cotton trade that essentially caused it all. But slavery was in there. But he's right. It was because of cotton. But I have my newscast thing that I usually start my show with, so I'll do that now, and I'll get back to what we were talking about.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump is in Singapore today ahead of Tuesday's planned summit with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un. Officials from both countries are set to meet to make final preparations for that historic meeting. Trump calls the meeting a mission of peace and will attempt to try to broker an end to Pyongyang's nuclear program. Meanwhile, the Trump administration's verbal attacks against Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau are escalating after Trudeau reiterated his opposition to new U.S. tariffs at the close of the G7 summit held in Canada this weekend. NPR's Miles Parks reports Trump and White House officials are doubling down.
Trudeau gave a press conference and said Canada wouldn't be pushed around by the U.S. In response, President Trump called Trudeau dishonest and said he acted, quote, meek and mild in private meetings over the weekend. Director of the National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, also took aim at Trudeau on CNN's State of the Union.
He really kind of stabbed us in the back. He did a great disservice to the whole G7.
The White House is also upset at Trudeau for announcing retaliatory trade actions. Those come after the Trump administration said Canada would no longer be exempt from tariffs on aluminum and steel. Also on Sunday, the White House Director of Trade Policy, Peter Navarro, said there was a, quote, special place in hell for Trudeau for engaging in bad faith diplomacy. Miles Parks, NPR News, Washington.
Police say a Honduran man jailed in Texas after illegally entering the country killed himself. NPR's Amy Held reports it comes in the midst of a Trump administration crackdown on illegal immigration.
Border Patrol agents arrested Marco Munoz on May 11th. A Customs and Border Protection spokesperson tells NPR the 39-year-old was brought to the Starr County, Texas jail after becoming, quote, disruptive and combative. A sheriff's incident report filed Tuesday says Munoz was placed in a padded cell for again being, quote, combative and noncompliant. The next morning, he was found unresponsive. His death ruled a suicide. According to the incident report, he had used his sweater to strangle himself. The Washington Post says Munoz had been detained with his wife and child, and that Munoz, quote, lost it when told the family would be separated. The Trump administration's policy of zero tolerance for illegal immigration includes separating children from parents. Amy Held, NPR News.
And a federal judge has temporarily blocked the deportation of a New York City pizza delivery man. Attorneys for the Legal Aid Society got a temporary stay for 35-year-old Pablo Villavicencio after a hearing this weekend. He was arrested June 1st when he tried to make a delivery to an Army base in Brooklyn. A routine background check found a warrant for his arrest on immigration law violations. He will remain in federal custody until his case goes to court. The judge granted the stay until July 20th. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington. In the UK, thousands of women paraded through the city streets celebrating the 100th anniversary of the right to vote. As Alice Fordham reports from London, the processions are full of color and moved through four cities.
The green, white, and violet of the suffragette movement of a century ago represented the slogan, "Give Women Votes." In commemoration of the sacrifices of that movement and in celebration of women's rights, thousands of women dressed in those colours or waved elaborate green, white and violet banners as they marched through the streets of London, Belfast, Edinburgh and Cardiff. The parades are part of a series of events that commemorate the end of World War I 100 years ago, and that also marks social progress and causes for which people are still campaigning today. For NPR News, I'm Alice Fordham in London.
At the weekend box office, Ocean's 8, the overhaul of the Heist franchise, but this time with a female-led cast, opened in the top spot with an estimated $41 million in ticket sales. The movie was made for a reported $70 million. The three previous Ocean remakes starred men, including Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, and George Clooney. Solo, A Star Wars Story, slid to second place with $15 million in its third weekend. In third place, Deadpool 2, bringing in an estimated $13 million in ticket sales. And the horror film Hereditary, starring Toni Collette, debuted in fourth place with $13 million, and that's a record for the indie distributor A24. Rafael Nadal has won his 11th French Open title today, winning in straight sets over Austria's Dominic Thiem. He's a 32-year-old Spaniard 17th Grand Slam.
Okay, we are back. But you know, one of the things that I was talking about, we have people like John McCain, who is fighting against America while being an American senator. What's wrong with this photo? Like poor John McCain, the Arizona senator who's battling terminal brain cancer, thinks someone died and made him the leader of the free world, proving that he's determined to be a thorn in President Trump's side. Even on his deathbed, McCain once again tried to undermine the billionaire by slamming the tariffs Trump slapped on China and Canada, like the ones they charge on American goods that go there. The tariffs are something that we are always being forced to pay. But when we do the same thing to the people who force us to pay tariffs, oh, that's a horrible, bad thing. Senator McCain tweeted during the G7 summit, "To our allies, bipartisan majorities of Americans remain pro-free trade, pro-globalization, and supportive of alliances based on 70 years of shared values. Americans stand with you even if our president doesn't." For the record, a senator does not make U.S. trade policy, nor does he speak for all Americans. McCain was reacting to President Trump's controversial, or so-called controversial, the U.S. will impose tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from Canada and China to make up for the decades-long trade deficit with the two countries. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Chinese President Xi Jinping responded by imposing retaliatory tariffs. Well, the problem with that is they've already had tariffs against us. I guess they just got to the point where having tariffs against us was nothing, but having tariffs against them, now that's going a bit too far. The problem with this whole thing is that these countries have got to realize that if they charge America tariffs for things, then shouldn't it be fair that we charge them tariffs? Just saying here. But President Trump said it's time to break the pattern of the United States being treated like the piggy bank that everybody is robbing. The U.S. has had lopsided multilateral trade agreements in place for decades. Trump vowed to end that and make fair trade deals that are mutually beneficial. People can't charge us 270% while we charge them nothing. That doesn't work anymore, Trump said. We are like the piggy bank that everyone is robbing, and that ends. And all I can say on that one is that he is so right on this. We've been charged tariffs a yang for decades now, and we have not charged tariffs back. So why is it good for the goose to do that but not the gander? And with everything, boy, the wind just came up. This is not the first time that Senator John McCain has undercut President Trump. As BizPak Review previously reported, McCain trashed Trump at the Economic Forum in Italy in September of 2017. John McCain stabs Trump in the back on foreign soil. And he does this. Nancy Pelosi does that right here in the United States. Anti-Trump rhino John McCain trashed President Trump again during a speech in Italy, highlighting the need for senatorial term limits. And that's one thing I actually do agree with, because people like McCain and Pelosi and all of these idiots who are there to destroy America need to be gone. They've gotten rich from milking the United States for their agendas for so many decades now that it's just mind-boggling. They need to step down. 3 months earlier, in June of 2017, the six-term senator told the UK's Guardian newspaper that American leadership was better under Barack Obama than under President Trump. He's lost his mind. How low can he go? John McCain tells the Guardian American. Well, all I can say is John McCain's lost his mind. You know, John McCain tells the Guardian American leadership was better under Obama. Rhino Senator John McCain claims American leadership was better, was stronger under a weak-willed Obama than under President Trump. Many on Twitter reacted by pointing out that President Trump is merely doing what other countries have done to the United States for decades. Journalist Yossi Gesterner said, the U.S. should simply charge other countries what they charge the U.S. It's not free trade that's going on now. It's crazy trade. Trump offered a tariff-free G7. If tariffs on the U.S. is the same what the U.S. has on others, why didn't Emmanuel Macron, Justin Trudeau welcome, accept it? Because they know G7 countries have higher tariffs on the U.S., and the U.S. should simply charge other countries what they are being charged. Trump offered a tariff-free G7, you know, but they weren't interested in that one. They don't want that everything to change. They want America to pay the tariffs, but they don't want to pay the tariffs themselves. And President Trump explained that the U.S. tariffs were a response to the 270% tariff Canada charges on U.S. dairy exports. 270%, folks, and it's wrong for us to charge tariffs back? We are not the bank of the world. People have got to get that through our minds. And I've got several people in chat room, and they're saying it's too bad that Congress is not doing their job. Yeah, it is. The Congress is sitting on their thumbs, not doing a damn thing, except for a few who have just pretty much recently gotten there, and they had agendas to try and get things done. And for a little while, you hear of them because they're bucking the system. They're going against what Washington, D.C. says that must be going on. The problem with that is, after they've been in Washington for a little while, they have a tendency to start thinking, well, I'm not making any changes. No matter what I say, I'm the bad guy here. And they get tired of being the bad guy. We will be right back after these messages. I went way long on this one. I should have stopped about 9 minutes ago before these breaks. But I will be right back after these messages.
We will be right back after these important messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, we are back. I got a compliment on my monologue that I had. I actually, one of the things that really bothers me in this nation right now is that we've got, you know, people like, you know, the people I've mentioned, Joy Reid and Nancy Pelosi and that Griffith chick that held the effigy of Trump's bloody head. All of these people seem to think that whatever they talk about is the gospel truth about everything. And if they are and called on what they say, then it's the Republicans' fault. It's conservatives' fault. You know, the truth has nothing to do with it. You know, according to them, it's everybody's fault but theirs, you know, and it drives me freaking nuts. Bringing it boy in the chat room said that it's probably, you know, for 8 years of frustration. I think that pretty much describes the American right right now, because we were pushed to the back of the bus for 8 years. We were told that we were the cause of the problems in this nation, yet it was us that elected Barack Obama, but we were racist, so we couldn't have done that. And you know, the funny part about that whole thing was that if it wasn't for the white people voting for Barack Obama, he would have never been elected. So the election of him was really one of the least racial things that we have done. But what came of that is the media and the left and Hollyweird and all of these leftist idiots who can't seem to see the truth when it smacks them across the face think that it's because of racism that he's no longer president. No. He had his 2 terms. That is all that is allowed. He needed to go away anyway. And I'm not saying that because he was black. I'm not saying that at all. One of the people that I actually wanted to run for president was black. I think that there are several people that would have made good presidents instead of Barack Obama. They at least could have proved that they were American citizens. I don't think he ever did. You know, I'm never one for this conspiracy theory that, you know, he his birth certificate was fake and all that happy stuff. It's just the fact that if we would have had a Republican running with the same questions that were on him that were on Obama, he would have never been allowed to even run. The left would have made sure of that. But when it's the other way around and the person that's running is a Democrat, that's perfectly fine there. It is something that the left actually has always gotten both sides of the story on. They're right on one side, but they're also right on the other, whereas we're right, wrong on one side, and we're also wrong on the other, so it really doesn't matter what we think. The problem is that there's a right and a wrong side on both sides. The left can't have it both ways. They think they can, and they've gotten away with this for years, but they can't have it both ways. You're not right on both sides of the spectrum. On one of them, you're wrong. And the problem that's been going on with what has been going on with the Democrats and the, I like to call them Democrats, but, you know, the problem with what's going on with them is the fact that everything that's wrong with this nation is because of the American people. No, everything that's wrong with this nation right now pretty much has to do with politicians. Politicians who will not accept the fact that they are our employees. They're not the bosses. Never have been, but they think they are. And bringing a boy, he said that he would have liked Sleepy Ben Carson to be in the Oval Office. Well, Ben Carson was the one I was talking about. I would have voted for him in a heartbeat if he'd have made it there. But that would have gone against the Democrats too, because we Republicans will never vote for somebody black like that. That would be just going completely against the way we feel. No, it wouldn't. Who was it that pushed out when Bush wanted to appoint? I can't even remember what the position was, but it was a Hispanic person who was pushed in and Bush nominated him. What did the Democrats do? They came unglued. Oh, we can't have a Hispanic in that position. That's wrong. We can't do that. Then they turned around and did the same dang thing. Put somebody in that they would not have agreed with if the person would have been a Republican. It's like I've been saying, the Democrats want to be right on both sides of the issue. And you cannot be. It cannot be. You can't be right on both sides of the issue. And one of the things that just really just drives me nuts about the Democrats right now is the fact that when it comes to a border wall, oh, we can't do that. That'd be racist of us to do. That would be horrible for us to do. I mean, there's people who want to come into this nation. There are laws to get people into this nation. Illegally is not the way to do it. And a wall would stop a lot of that. But the Democrats are saying, oh no, a wall won't stop anything. It'll just cost the American people money that doesn't have to be spent, because that open border, it can stay open, and that's just the way it needs to stay. Try and go into Mexico from the United States illegally. See what the hell happens to you. Oh, caught your attention that time, didn't I, Democrats? But not the way that I meant it, I guess. For you guys, it seems like if America wants something, it's a bad thing. If somebody else wants something, or if the Democrats want something, then it's got to be good. No, it really doesn't, and it never has been. Not for as long as I can remember. The problem that is going on, though, is the fact that the Republican Party has forgotten how to fight. And President Trump has brought that fight back in. During the Bush administration, one of the things that just drove me absolutely insanely crazy over that was the fact that Bush didn't like the idea that the Democrats didn't like him. I kept yelling, don't worry about it. They're going to hate you no matter what you do. And then he goes and turns around on one of his issues and goes 170 to 180 degrees out of what he was doing. He turned completely around and gave the Democrats exactly what they wanted. Did they like him then? Oh, hell no, they didn't. They hated his guts. He was a turncoat. He went against his way of doing things. That should be enough to take him out of office. They hated him even more. And he gave them what they wanted. He finally gave up. Towards the end of his term, he just freaking gave up. And I really don't blame him. Everything he did was wrong. Even though it wasn't, everything he did was wrong, according to Hollywood, and according to the media, and according to the left, and according to a lot of the right. And the same thing is happening with President Trump. The media thinks he needs to be impeached. We have Maxine Waters in California. Oh, we got to impeach that guy. He's just really destroying our nation. No, it is people like Maxine Waters that is destroying this nation, not President Trump. He actually got into office to do what he said he was going to do. And the amazing part about this is he's had the government fighting him every step of the way, and he still doesn't have a lot of his cabinet, which is getting ridiculous. The Democrats are doing everything they can to stop that, but he's still getting stuff done. Changing what is happening in Washington, D.C. And the Democrats don't like that one little freaking bit. They keep thinking, oh, he's going to do something, and all of a sudden the American people are going to turn against him, and we're going to have him back. Nope. It isn't going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. And they are just totally befuddled and totally out of sorts with it, because they cannot understand what the heck is going on, because the American people still support him. That shouldn't happen. Why is that going on? And all I have to say about that one is the Democrats are wrong. They've been wrong for so long that they think that they're right. They don't know that they're wrong. And one little show that has maybe 100, 200, 300 listeners at the very most is not going to let them know. Even Rush Limbaugh, who has millions of listeners, still can't get it through to their thick skulls that they're wrong. They hear it, but they still can't get it through their thick skulls that they are wrong. And they are wrong for this nation, and they always have been wrong for this nation. Well, at least the last 40 years they have been anyway. We are coming up on the top of the hour right now, and we will be right back after these messages. And I've got to move some things around in my chat, in my studio here, but I'll start the advertisements that I need to do, and then we'll get started with the second hour.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. But I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking. Plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were very superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, with his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Ruth Butte not only holds mystery, but also a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening skies. Matt is the one who was hired to find out what was going on there, and without becoming a part of the nasty plan that was happening. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. That's www.createspace.com/4686987. It also is in digital form and is also available on Amazon, too. That's Matt Joseph in Night Owls, The Mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message.
That one, I was just listening to that, and I've got some of those on the second time that I mentioned the address. I got that wrong, so I'm going to have to re-record that one, but I guess that I'm just, that's one of those things that you hear when you finally get to listen to it.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert, who are not afraid of the wrath of the left when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda for us. From the crossroads of America comes the second hour of the show.
We are back. One of the things that I always say on this show and all of my publications like Wise Conservatism, the blog, or my NWCR's audio video side chats is the same thing that I heard Alex Jones say while talking with a reporter who was brave and got into Bill Clinton's face about some of the things he has done that were against the law. I need to speak up. If I say, you know, Bill Clinton gets up in front of a 1,000 people and no one speaks up, he thinks that the people are stupid and he has won over them. Speak up, he has nothing to say. Identity politics is the left's alchemy for dissolving unity. It is envy-driven hate that is created out of lies, spurious definitions, fabricated history, and other things that they constantly do to keep true history from being told. All it needs to do is sow enough division that a minority can seize power. And that's all, that's what they're trying to do. It now controls the education system, which means our best and brightest will be subjected to an ideological, psychological gauntlet that most of them can't withstand on their own. We have got to stop this before the nation's fate is sealed by our public schools. And this is so true. Flycatch put something in there about a movie about the evil mountains of Arizona. I used to live in Phoenix, and one of the things that we always heard about that doubt there was the Superstition Mountains. And the stories that came out about the Superstition Mountains were pretty intense at times. But Bring It On Boy said that working on the youth is scary. And it actually is. because the youth, it's like Rush says, their minds are mush, just waiting to be filled, and their teachers are filling them with stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with what really happened in the past. You know, the kids in my house come home and ask questions about things that I knew at their age. They have absolutely no clue about it. And it makes me wonder, you know, just what the heck are they being taught in school? They're not being taught much of anything, especially when it comes to being a good American. They're not being taught anything when it comes to being a good American. To them, a good American is either dead or a traitor. And if the good Americans that are out here are not dead or traitors to the American cause, then to the American left, those are the traitors. They have their facts just completely back-assward in ways that just blow my mind. Even though I, you know, look at this and watch what's going on throughout the week, and, you know, because I do my updates daily, so I'm constantly looking at the news, and one of the things that's constantly hitting at me is the fact that the left seems to think that Donald Trump is going to destroy this nation. When, if the fact of the matter came out, they're the ones who's been destroying this nation. They're the ones that is the reason that this nation is in the trouble it's in now. They're the ones that this nation is having troubles seeing what the truth is anymore. Because to the left, the truth doesn't exist unless they make it up. That little line right there just tells it all when it comes to the Democrats. The truth doesn't exist unless they make it up. Then, of course, it does. Even though what they're passing off as the truth is something that somebody in a dark room in California or in Washington, D.C. or Illinois thought would be a good idea. They'd be sitting there and all of a sudden this random idea would come into their heads and say, oh yeah, this is what America's about. 90% of them have no clue what America is about. If they would read the Constitution, which I am sure the Nancy Pelosi's of Washington never had, they would probably find out that America is not what they think it is. America is not a democracy, for one thing. It's probably closer to being a democracy now than it ever has been. America was not formed as a democracy. Yet everybody from the media on down talks about how Trump is destroying the democracy of America. If it was really put to the test on that one, Trump could not destroy the democracy of America because America doesn't have a democracy. It has a republic, a constitutional republic. The founding fathers made sure of what they were doing. They discussed having a democracy and decided that would not be the way to go. A democracy is mob rule, pretty much. They decided on a constitutional republic. It's one of the reasons why the left is constantly trying to get rid of the Constitution. They know that if they can get rid of just one of the amendments, like the Second Amendment, the rest will follow. just like dominoes. All they have to do is get one to fall and the rest will. Which is one of the reasons why the American people have got to stay awake. The American people have got to keep doing what they can to keep these tyrants in Washington, D.C. from getting what they want. Because to me, it doesn't matter what the tyrants in Washington, D.C. want. They are not the bosses. They never have been. They didn't go there as bosses. They went there to do a job. And that is all. And the job that they are doing is not what they were brought there to do. Not even in the slightest way. This nation always been one of the greatest nations this world has ever seen. Freedom is in our DNA, not slavery. Not racism. But if you talk to the left, what's in our DNA is slavery and racism, especially racism. I mean, you know, everything that happens in this nation today, according to the left, according to Barack Obama, according to Nancy Pelosi, Peglosi, I like that one, is racist. When Obama was president, everything that happened was caused by racism. Ferguson, Missouri. Remember that one? Obama was saying that this kid in Ferguson, Missouri, when this whole thing came down, this kid could have been his kid. I'll tell you what. We don't need a president who thinks that thugs can be his kid. And I will be right back after these short messages.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's Conservative Nation Media 2017, no spaces, at gmail.com. Then you can let the world know we will not be ruled. Okay, we're back to the final segment of what I've got planned for today. Weather seems to be holding its own, but the wind has come up pretty hard, and it's still raining really hard. I haven't heard any thunder lately, but the clouds are moving through pretty fast, so I'm not exactly sure how long that will last, but yeah, we will probably find out sometime tonight. We had a New York Times reporter who slept with Senate Intel leaker has a problem with jaw-dropping tweet from the past. Of course, the New York Times is one of those newspapers that seems to not know what the truth is. But the New York Times reporter Ali Watkins' past tweets provide an eye-opening glimpse into the mindset of the journalist involved in a three-year sexual relationship with former Senate Intelligence Committee aide James A. Wolf. Wolf, 57, who was a former security director for the Senate panel, said he has been accused of leaking sensitive information to journalists, including to include his former lover. He's placing an indictment for giving, he's facing an indictment for giving false statement to the FBI, Fox News reported. On September 17th, Watkins had the audacity to tweet that the Intel committee was frustrated by a constant dribble of leaks. The reporter went on to say, so far as to try to blame President Trump's lawyers for the leak. And of course, everything when it comes to this nation that's wrong, it's President Trump or his lawyer or something. But according to the indictment, Wolf began dating Watkins, who previously worked at BuzzFeed and Politico in 2013. And she was an undergraduate student working as a news intern. Maybe she met Barack Obama. The relationship ended in 2017. Even more stunning that the tweets above, that the tweets that were shown in this are two in 2013 of Watkins commenting on the Zoe Barnes character in the House of Cards. Talk about art imitating life. This would appear to flip that notion on its head. Barnes, played by actress Kate Mara, was an ambitious journalist who got her break after she began an affair with the villainous Frank Underwood, played by actor Kevin Spacey. We all know him now, who leaked information to the reporter. Her newfound lover would come to push Barnes in front of a subway train in the Netflix hit series. Watkins began having an affair with Wolf months after tweeting that she wanted to be Zoe Barnes, prosecutors said, according to Fox News. Well, most of the things that I find that has anything to do with the New York Slimes, to me, has nothing to do with the truth. This one I found at BPR, Business and Politics, written by Tom Tillison, but he actually is quoting stuff in that were part of the New York Times. One of the things that I am in the process of trying to get going right now is a Cafe Press shop storefront that I am in the process of trying to create, where I will be selling things like, you know, coffee cups with patriotic logos and stuff like that on it. I've got a shirt that I'm trying to get in there right now that can be bought with the CNM Conservative Nation Media logo with the NPR NWCR show, radio show, in red underneath. But I will keep you guys informed on that one as how that is coming. I'm still in the process of trying to get that going. And as soon as I get it going, then I will set up an ad as one of the ads that runs with this show that will let you know where it's at, where to go to get to it. and with that you would be able to buy patriotic gear and patriotic stuff that I will have there. I haven't gotten it together yet, but I'm working on it, and hopefully soon it will be up and running. It will be at Cafe Press, which is a site that I've had other things at. Never thought about advertising them here on the show, which is kind of weird, but of course they didn't work because I didn't advertise for them, so nobody knew about them. Is neither here nor there. We have been running the gauntlet of trying to find out just what is going on in this nation, and we have talked a lot about that today. And one of the things I think is that is wrong with this nation, and I have talked about this one before. I kind of talked about it a little bit today. You know, when it comes to Washington, the people that go there have a tendency to lose contact with what is really going on in this nation. They lose contact with the average person who is their bosses. They get this idea that they are the bosses. They are the ones in charge. They are the ones who need to let everybody know that we are your bosses. This is, you know, and that's one of the things that drives me crazy about John McCain and Nancy Pelosi. They've been there so long that they think the American people are stupid. They think that we can't tell them anything because they are in charge, not us, when it's actually should be the other way around. They are working for us. And when I get to Washington, and you know, I started a thing like, okay, I run for Senate, promise all kinds of things to get there. And you, the American people, the American public, elect me on promises that I made that resound with you. I get to Washington and start getting paid more money than I have ever been paid in my life, and I forget what I am there for, and don't even try to keep my campaign promises to you. What do? You forget what I promised, and just figure since I am there to represent you, eventually I will get to something that you agree with? Or do you get upset and vow to take me out of office as soon as possible? I would hope it is the latter, because representatives like John McCain and Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and all these idiots in Washington who seem to think that we can't get along without them have forgotten the fact that we are the bosses of them, not them. They are not our bosses. We are. And if they don't do what they promised, they don't deserve to be there or even be paid for a job they are doing that doesn't fit the agenda they ran on. What would happen to you if you went, got yourself a job at some place like me? I work at Epson America, a subsidy of Epson America called Bell Techlogix. I repair Epson projectors. I refurbish them. Now, if I didn't learn my job, if I didn't do a good job for them and didn't do what I was told and didn't do what the bosses told me to do, how long would I keep that job? I can guarantee you it would not be very long at all. Come August, I'll have been there for almost 5 or 6 years now. It's been a while. And there are people who are working there that have been there 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Do you think they'd have been there that long if they had just gone into that position that the politicians in Washington do and then don't do what they're told by the people who are their bosses? That, to me, is one of the problems with what is going on in this nation. The people who go to Washington and don't do what they campaigned for should be removed from office at the earliest convenience. Because if they're not doing their jobs, they don't deserve to have that job. And sadly, too many of them have not been doing their job. Too many of them are not doing their jobs, and yet their jobs are secure. What is wrong with that picture? I am now running out of time, and I'm watching people in the chat room keep putting up things for me to talk about. There's a wealth of information in that chat room at times, but I'm running out of time. We will be back next week. I am in the process now of trying to get myself a new phone company so that I can actually do my show with my phone, which has better tone quality and stuff. But right now I'm doing it as a direct connect through the studio. And sometimes it breaks up. Sometimes it doesn't go as well as it should. And I don't like that. So I'm in the process of trying to find me a new phone company that I can go ahead and use for doing this show. The one that I am that I have right now, if I try to call my host call-in number, it tells me that's not part of my plan. I can't do it. But I can call in as a guest, and it lets me in. That I don't understand, because it takes me to the same place. So that's one of the main reasons why I've had problems with my show lately, because a phone company that I have right now, and I am working on getting that settled as soon as I can. I'm thinking about Patriot Mobile, which is the one I'm looking at right now, because they seem to have the things that I want, and they don't support Soros America, which is a good thing. But we will be back this next week for the next show, and going on that, and get those dollars set up so that we're going to come back to our show, and hopefully that'll be soon. So, I'm glad that you are all here today. There was a couple of others that we were just talking about. Until next week, God bless America. In the morning, and that's a map of Tennessee. You know a brother never found me, and that's all right with me. I went to New York City to find what could be found. Just for kicked out 66, stopped in our town. all.